Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres play their first of three in lovely Cincinnati. And in studio, we've got Big Bill Center.
In case you haven't noticed, I am a doubly big person.
Plus, we've also got Ben Higgins, who always tries to stay dapper for one main reason.
And you know, look good, play good. Hey, I believe in that, right?
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Bill Center and Ben Higgins.
Hey, made it to Friday at 3 o'clock. I say it's officially time for the weekend and time for a little Padres baseball and the Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Welcome. Joined today by Bill Center, Big Bill Center, and I'm not exactly lowering the size of today's program either.
Actually, I've dropped, I think that was something we did last year, and I've dropped dropped about 60 pounds since then.
Good for you. Fantastic. Yeah. You look great on the couch, as always, but I don't think we've ever, you know, shifting lineups all the time. I don't know that this particular lineup for the Social Hour has ever happened, so good to see you, Bill. So
I've been on your show.
Oh, absolutely. I've had you on the radio. I've had you on other television programs before. But this couch, first time together for the next hour, and I think it's going to be entertaining. Padres and the Cincinnati Reds from the Great American Ballpark coming up at 4 o'clock. We're the pregame show today. We're going to lead right up into baseball. So stay with us and get your weekend started as the Padres look to take some of the momentum that they built on a 4-3 homestand and then take that on the road with them to Cincinnati for the first of three. Tyson Ross on the mound today.
Have you ever been to Great American Ballpark?
I've been outside. I visited Cincinnati about a year and a half ago. It was not baseball season, but it's a great setup right on the river there. We've got the football stadium, the baseball stadium. It's a nice place, kind of what I think, you know, sometimes we've envisioned here in San Diego, but never exactly been able to completely fill out the downtown with a second stadium down
there. I think the site is nice on the riverfront. I think the ballpark, in terms of all the new ballparks, I think that might be one of the worst.
You know, they don't have – I've been to their spring facility as well. It just doesn't have some of the bells and whistles of some of the other newer parks.
Well, they've got the two smokestacks for the river boat. It's supposed to be a riverboat look. But I don't think that Cincinnati's – close to being as good as the other new ballparks.
The Reds have been struggling a little bit this year, and maybe that's one of the interesting things about this weekend's opponent. We've gotten so used to the Padres playing nothing but winning baseball teams up to this point in the season. It's only happened about 10 times. They're actually taking on a team that has struggled with a 23-29 record. So now is a chance to perhaps, even though you're going on the road, get back to 500, which you could do with a win today, and start chasing down the Dodgers. And I look, Bill, at where the Padres stand right now on June the 5th, and I see them maybe a game under 500, but only 4.5 games behind the Dodgers out of first place in the NL West after LA lost to St. Louis last night. And I'm saying, well, that's not a bad place to be at all at this point in the season.
No, I thought they'd be better than their record. This road trip gives you an opportunity because – I don't think the Braves are that strong. You've got to beat teams. To be a contender, you have to beat the teams that you should beat, and this is a team they should beat.
I think the Padres, at the very least, you can say they've kind of weathered the early storm of some struggles on the pitching staff and the bullpen, a few injuries, a tough schedule early, and now here they are. They're still right at around 500. They're still within striking distance of the Dodgers and the Giants in the NL West. They've kind of weathered the storm, but I tweeted out the question with the hashtag Padres Social Hour, Padres SH, and you can join the program on Twitter by tweeting us your questions at hashtag Padres SH, and we'll read those questions and comments throughout the hour. But I asked, do you feel like the Padres have turned the corner now for the 2015 season, that they've, as I said, weathered the storm for the first couple of months and now have a chance to really make hay as we move forward?
Well, I think corners keep coming up throughout the season. I think that they are on the – I think right now they're on the threshold of being able to make a run. And I'd like to see them get 5 or 6 straight wins, make a run, get more than a couple games over 500. I think they can do that right now. But this is not going to be the last time that they have a slump, that a baseball season has ebbs and flows and peaks and valleys. They are not beyond having another tough start.
Sure.
I think that they are on the verge of having a run.
Okay, well, let's see what some of the fans out there have to say using the hashtag PadresSH, because that's the one thing we haven't really seen yet, is that other than the first 15 games or so, right, when they went 10-5 is a huge run. At SportsBrain tweeted, "I think they have, as in turn the corner. Excited to see how they come out in Cincy today." And, you know, a good road trip would set up the Padres, Bill, for a very exciting weekend next weekend. The Dodgers are going to be here at Petco Park for a weekend series. You know every game is going to be jam-packed, hopefully mostly with Padres fans, but certainly with some of those fans,
right,
that come down from L.A. as well. And if the Padres have a good road trip, you could see them coming into that series, you know, just a couple of games, two or three games out of first place. That would be very interesting.
With momentum, absolutely. That's why this is an important road trip to me. But I do think that, you know, turn the corner. Don't all of a sudden expect that they're going to play 700 ball for the rest of the season. There are going to be lulls, but I do think they are in position right now where everything's coming together. They've got guys getting healthy. Their pitching is probably in the best shape it's been all year, and I could see them making a run at this moment.
Other fans are taking a more wait and see approach. Aztec Allen tweets in, "Not yet," as in turn the corner. "If they sweep this series, I'll be convinced, with a 5-game win streak and 2 games over 500. Well, that would certainly say something if the Padres could go out and put together one of those win streaks like a 5-gamer, especially going on the road. Now, the pitching matchups set up okay, at least for the first couple of games. Tyson Ross is going to go today. He has dominated. We'll get into the numbers a little bit later. He's dominated the Reds in his career, and he's going up against a pitcher today who is making his major league debut, John Moscott. So, you know, a chance, you know, sometimes those guys come out and surprise you, but a chance perhaps for the Padres to get off on the right foot in this series.
Right. And, you know, I'm not one to, like, statistics at home I believe in, but short sample sizes of statistics on the road, his number of games in Cincinnati doesn't make a trend for me. And that's a tough ballpark for a pitcher. Ball flies there, and awful. It's a great offensive ballpark. A
couple other tweets here. B. Klein 760 Brandon tweet, "Not yet. I want to see Kemp get some June Kemp. He is hitting, but just singles. I want to see one more IPK, Ian Kennedy, start before he decides if the Padres have turned the corner." And, you know, Bud Black is going to have some decisions to make as well, maybe with Kennedy in the starting rotation, although it looks like it might be Despaigne going out when Morrow comes back.
Right.
We're going to have that as well, some news involving a bit of a change over the weekend. We'll have that for you as well. A couple other tweets for you. Let's see. We've got Go Padres. Seems that way right now. Show some consistency, though, and we can be serious about it. And we've got Andrew Shirk as well, who tweeted in, "I'll wait until we're fully healthy to determine, but things are looking up." And
I think Andrew's got it.
Yeah, I think Andrew's got it as well. And we'll have some injury updates coming up as well. Some news on Will Myers from Cincinnati and the state of his rehab as he comes back from the wrist tendonitis, and some news also on the bullpen and from the minor leagues as well coming up. So lots to get to over this next hour. And I've got one more here from Marcus Morris, who's going to be the pessimist of the party. Says, "Absolutely not. This team is still more likely to lose 10 straight than win their next game."
I don't think Marcus is.
Thanks, Marcus. This is the weekend. We're supposed to be, you know, in a good mood. It's Friday afternoon.
I don't think that this team is capable of losing 10 straight because they've got a couple pitchers that just won't let that happen.
All right, Bill. When we come back, a dilemma for A.J. Preller, possibly in the next 7 to 10 days. What is he going to be doing with his roster when Melvin Upton and possibly Will Myers both coming back at the same time?
And Brandon Morrow.
That is up next. First, though, I want to remind you, the next Party in the Park, presented by Southwest Airlines, is happening on Friday, June 12th, as the Padres face the Dodgers at 7:10 p.m. The party starts at 5 and features $5 food and drinks and live music. Get tickets to the box office or at Padres.com/party. It's a Friday afternoon party from Petco Park and the Padres store. Bill Center, Ben Higgins, back with more Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour from those AMR studios presented by United Airlines. Bill Center and Ben Higgins with you on the couch and the chair on a Friday afternoon. Padres and Reds coming up from the Great American Ballpark at 4 o'clock. And, Bill, before we when we started, I said that a dilemma is coming up for A.J. Preller, possibly in the next 7 to 10 days. And it involves mostly his outfield, although it could have a domino effect on the rest of the roster as well. You've got Melvin Upton, who you wrote about at Padres Central and Friar Wire at Padres.com today, had his first home run in his rehab stint with El Paso last night and has been hitting pretty well. He's hitting about .283, but he can only be down for 20 games of rehab before the Padres would have to activate him to the major league. So that's 1 week from now that you're going to have to clear a roster spot for Melvin Upton. Okay, well, you could send Abraham Almonte back down and take one outfielder up and one outfielder back. But you could also have Will Myers approaching a rehab stint here this weekend, and we can talk about that later. But if he comes back as well, then all of a sudden you've got a bit of a dilemma on your hands. Too many players, not enough roster spots.
Right. Well, when Myers comes back, I would imagine it's either going to be if Jerko doesn't start hitting, he could go. He could get an option, or Solarte or Spangenberg. I think it'll be one of those three guys, unless they decide that Will Middlebrooks can be your backup shortstop. There might be a scenario where they would DFA Clint Barmas.
Interesting. Now that brings up a Twitter question, Padres SH hashtag from at Brew J, who says, you see any possibility of Will Myers playing more infield when he returns to keep Venable in the outfield? And I think you're saying, yes, certainly there is that possibility. But the question is, where is that going to be? Is it going to be at first base, where Yonder Alonso has come back with a bit of a vengeance the last few days, coming off the disabled list himself? Do you put him over at third base, move Middlebrooks to shortstop? Does Will Myers have any third base experience in the minor leagues?
Myers has played in his life. He's played third. He's played second. He's played first. He's played a lot of different positions. The only position he doesn't want to play, he says, is catcher. It gets very interesting. Like, some people I know have said, well, you put Myers at first base. Well, if Alonso's hitting .300 and getting on base 40% of the time, and he's the only left-handed bat in the lineup, you're not taking him out of the lineup. I'm sorry. Myers is not going to play first base if Alonso is healthy and hitting like he is. Myers is not your best option in center field. He's not the defender that either Venable or Melvin Upton Jr. is. So they're going to have to do something. I could see a scenario where Myers is could be at third base.
Now, the other option that could be considered to create a roster spot is a trade.
You could trade an outfielder.
You could trade someone. Or an infielder. If you wanted to, you know, open up first base, you could trade Yonder Alonso.
I could see where they would trade an outfielder for a shortstop, which raises the question. If you don't think you're going to be able to sign Justin Upton, and that would take $22 million a year for 5 years. If you don't think that can happen, and there are teams that might bid even higher, do you trade Upton now to get the most for him, and maybe you can get a good shortstop, or do you let him go through the end of the season, become a free agent, and get a draft choice?
There's certainly a logic to what you're suggesting, a long-term logic toward maximizing the pieces
that
you have.
It would be hard for the fans to accept.
It would be hard for the players to accept as well. They're playing better right now, and Justin Upton has clearly been the catalyst on offense, the rock in the middle of the lineup, now batting third in Buddy's lineup. To take him away right at this point where you're hoping to make a run up at the Dodgers, that could be fairly emotionally devastating.
Or do you trade Myers? Or do you trade? I mean, if you want to really get a good shortstop, you're going to have to trade value for value. You're just not going to be able to go out and get somebody cheap. So it's going to take value for value. You're going to have to give up somebody, and you've got an excess of outfielders. Now, Alonso, I don't think his value is as high as an Upton's or a Myers. But at the same time, if you could get a shortstop for Alonso, you could move Myers to first base. But I could see a trade being made here.
I think the other point that was brought up in Jay Brew's tweet that I love to keep pointing out is that Will Venable in center field has brought some stability, especially defensively, back to the position. And Will has also been producing consistently offensively. And I think it's such a testament. I mean, we've known Will for several years now, and he was put in a very different situation this year than ever before in his Padres career. You're going to have to be a fourth outfielder. You're going to have to be ready when we call on you. And you're just going to have to do it with a good attitude, and he has. He's come to work every day. He has never complained once, and he's been ready. I mean, when they've needed him, he's been there for the team. Ultimate credit to Will Venable for what he's been able to do this season in a very different role.
And absolutely, Will Venable, history says, is a streak hitter. And the Padres got a little bit fortunate here because he got on a hot streak when they put him in the lineup. History says that Will hasn't been consistent over an entire season except for 2013, half of the 2013 season. So if he can stay consistent, that's a huge plus. If he can't, then he's a very valuable fourth outfielder.
Bill, speaking of hot hitters on the Padres right now, maybe no one hotter than third baseman Will Middlebrooks. And earlier this week, our Jesse Agler, off today, though, had a chance to sit down, Will, on that couch before the team left for Cincinnati. And when we come back on Padres Social Hour, we will magically disappear. Jesse and Will Middlebrooks will take our place, and you'll hear from the Padres third baseman. That is coming up. First, though, to guarantee the opportunity to purchase tickets to the 2016 All-Star Game at Petco Park, become a Padres season ticket member at the gold or platinum level and lock in your chance to get tickets. To learn more, visit Padres.com/ASG. And Padres baseball from the site of this summer's All-Star Game, the Great American Ballpark, coming up at 4. It's Padres Social Hour, Bill and Ben, and Will Middlebrooks with Jesse when we come back.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
We're going to talk about offense and hitting, and maybe some defense, too, with Will Middlebrooks. He's here. He's on Twitter, of course, at Middlebrooks, a two-run homer yesterday, three RBIs in the game against the Pirates. Feeling pretty good at the plate right now, it looks like.
Yeah, feeling pretty good. You know, hits are starting to fall. I feel like the first month of the season, first even month and a half, I was having good at bats, hitting the ball hard, and right at people. You know, it's just bad luck, bad hitting, I guess. But it's been fun, man. The team's hanging in there. We're grinding. We've been through a couple tough stretches, as everybody knows. But it's easy to say. I think we've had one of the tougher schedules in baseball too.
Yeah.
But and it's not going to get easier. So we need to get used to it and just play better.
Will Middlebrooks is hot, and he is on the Cholula hot seat because of that. Well, what do you do as a hitter, like, you know, psychologically to yourself or whatever, when you know you're hitting the ball well, when you know you're making good contact, but the results just aren't there?
Don't change. You know, it's automatic to fall into that trap where you go in the cage, you're averaging where you want it, your production isn't where you want it. You feel yourself sliding in the lineup a little bit just because the hits aren't falling, but you don't want to fall in the trap of going in the cage and trying to change your mechanics or, you know, because you're doing everything right. You're just not getting hits. You're not hitting the ball right at people. So just keeping the same routine. And my hitting coaches, my teammates, you know, I have some good veteran teammates. And then with Kotz and with Zoe in there in the cage, our hitting coaches, they've helped me out a ton. And just keep, you know, keeping me consistent.
I was just going to ask you about those guys, Mark Kotze and Alonzo Powell, the hitting coaches. It's your first year working with them. It's Kotze's first year as a hitting coach. What's the adjustment like as a player going to a new team working with new hitting coaches?
It's always different. You know, guys have different terminologies and ways of breaking down other pitching and, things like that. But Kotze is really good for us because he's fresh out of the game, for one. He's faced a lot of these pitchers. And he still has that player mentality where he gets fired up every day. He feels like he's one of us. We feel like, you know, he fits in right with us. So, Zoe hasn't played in the last few years, but he's on that same level where he's very competitive. He's got that fiery attitude, and it's just fun to come to the field every day and work with him.
Will Middlebrooks is on the Cholula hot seat. So you just talked about Kotze having seen a lot of these pitchers. You, as an American League guy for the start of your career, you haven't seen a good number of these guys, I imagine. What's that transition been like for you?
Yeah, it's, I faced a few of them here and there, but not at a consistent basis being on the East Coast. So that's one of those things where I turn to my teammates, you know, and Matt Kemp, who's been in this division for, you know, 8-9 years. So. And had success. So he's faced a lot of these guys. A lot of the good guys that are in this league have been here for a while. So I turn to my teammates. I turn to Kotz and those guys, and they've helped me out a ton.
Obviously, I guess when you're coming up as a rookie, you're learning everybody fresh, and that's just a couple of years ago for you. But I imagine it's a lot easier this time around, just having your footing in the game.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, 2012, my first year, I came up, and I was just – you know, there wasn't a book on me. But, you know, so that helps when I don't know the other guys. You know, they're just pitching by the textbook, you know. Heaters in, soft away, you know. And that's easy to catch on to, but then that changes as you have some success and guys find, you know, cold spots in your zone. And that's just – it's a cat-and-mouse game, and that's how it goes. So you adapt, you know, at bat, not even year to year. So it's been a process, and I've enjoyed it so far.
It's always fun hearing about that kind of stuff from a player's perspective. Let me take you off the field for a moment. Obviously, you know, totally new coast, you know, new everything, you know, this year. The season is what the season is, where you're pretty much working every single day. But have you had any time to enjoy San Diego these first few months?
Absolutely. It's it's hard not to enjoy it. I mean, there's not much you can do and not enjoy it. But my family was actually just here this past series, and it's the first time they've been out here. So got to go take them down to the beach and to some good restaurants, and they really enjoy their time.
How's the difference of life-wise between here and Boston? Obviously, the weather, I imagine, is a little bit of a plus.
It's a completely different feel in the cities. Boston's a really cool city. It's very old and historic, and there's a lot of cool things that, as far as sightseeing and food and all that. And then here, it's same, you know, it's cool sightseeing, good food, but on a different level. You know, it's a way more relaxed feel. It's more spread out. It's not a compact big city. So, it's been a good change. I like it.
Yeah, no, you're smiling. We can tell. And it's hard not to like this place, obviously. Let's talk a little defense. You came in with this reputation as a really, really good defender over at third base. We've certainly seen that. A little bit of opportunities at shortstop. What's the comfort level like right now playing shortstop, not generally, but shortstop like in a major league game?
Yeah, it's fun. You know, once I got moved over to third base when I was 19, and my first year of pro ball, I thought those days were long gone. You know, I hit a little growth spurt when, you know, I got out of high school and they shifted me over. I wasn't, you know, didn't quite have the range as like the, you know, Lexis and those type, you know, smaller, quick guys. So got shifted over and, you know, thought that was it. And here comes this year, and you know, I play shortstop a lot in the shift when lefties are up. So I would take ground balls there a lot during BP just to get some reps there. And Doc asked me, hey, man, have you ever thought about playing short? You know, how would you feel about playing short? You know, just filling in maybe a double switch or whatever it may be late in the game. And I was like, you know, it could be fun. Yeah. You know, I need to go over the bunt plays, cutoff and relays and kind of get that, you know, those wheels turning again. But as far as, you know, the angle of the game, it's a lot better than third. You can see everything a lot better. The flow of the game just feels better. And like I said, I played there my whole life up until I was 19.
Yeah, no, I mean, I remember, I think it was before the first start, which was in L.A., they had a shot of you on TV from before the game, and I think Clint Barmas was standing right behind you and just sort of talking things out with you. I imagine he's a really, really valuable resource.
He is. You know, Clint just hit his 10th year in the big leagues, so that's a good guy to have in your corner. So as soon as I found out I was going to have a chance of playing short, I went to him and just went over the minor details of alignment and positioning and where I need to be, just the little things that, you know, end up being important.
You mentioned the shift, which is, I think, a hot topic for a lot of fans. It's an interesting thing to talk about. As a hitter, I imagine it can be very frustrating at times. As a defender, though, is it sort of a fun challenge getting to move around and get a fresh view, or is it a tough thing to do?
It can get pretty challenging, especially when you get in situations with guys on base, a guy on first base. Normally when there's a guy in, you know, on second base, there's no shift. You know, maybe a couple steps, but you're not going to get out of position because he can take third. But with the guy on first, it gets challenging. Turn double plays, you know, because the guy's all the way in the four hole. Normally our second baseman's all the way in the four hole. And that's a tough double play. It's a long throw for him, and then it's a turn for me or our third baseman. Or where, you know, every team's different. They put their guys in different places, wherever they're most comfortable. But it can get tough.
One of the ones I find interesting, and it's not a shift thing, just a defensive alignment thing for the third baseman, is when there's that runner on third and that sort of cat and mouse. I enjoy watching it between the third baseman and the runner, just making sure neither one of you is too far away from the bag.
Right. That's the tough part because it ends up leaving shortstop wide open where I normally would play. But you want to play that pull tendency of the left-hander and go ahead and move your shortstop over to the second base side to have three defenders on that side of the field. So you kind of just have to take a chance. It's one of those things where when he's not looking and the pitch is about to go, I try to get as far off as I can, but it's only so far you can go because you don't want him getting too far off the back.
Really interesting stuff. Love talking about the nuts and bolts. Will Middlebrook's playing a really nice third base and obviously getting some time at shortstop as well. Throwback experience for you to the high school days. To play shortstop. Oh, yeah. Awesome, man. Will's on Twitter, of course, @Middlebrook's. A big home run against the Pirates last night. start of a series against the Mets today. Appreciate you stopping by.
Hey,
thanks, man.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
No, our pleasure. That's Will Middlebrooks on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Thanks again to Will Middlebrooks. More Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
And we thank Jesse Agler and Will Middlebrooks again as Will stepped into the Cholula hot seat there for a moment. He's been red hot. Bill Center, Ben Higgins with you. We are being trusted to lead you right into the game today at 4 o'clock. The Padres and the Cincinnati Reds. Will Middlebrooks, 3-3 RBI games. Just in his past, how many games?
Eight games.
In his last 20, hitting .307 with four home runs, 12 runs batted in. So he is certainly, after a little bit of a slump, has really picked it up nicely for the Padres.
Offensively, he's done very well. He's had a couple tough errors here in the last week, which is sort of surprising because defense is one thing he can really do.
Yeah, you can participate on the show a couple of different ways. On Twitter is great. Use the hashtag PadresSH or on the Padres chat at Padres.com/social hour. Right now, though, Bill, it's time for the starting lineup today for the San Diego Padres, getting you ready for the game. And the starting lineup is brought to you by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. And you might notice this lineup looks a little bit familiar. Will Venable leading off in center field. Derek Norris will bat second and do the catching. Justin Upton hitting third in left field. Matt Kemp, again, your cleanup hitter out in right field. Then it's Yonder Alonso, 4-for-7 since coming off the disabled list. He'll bat fifth and play first base. Will Middlebrooks, our guest a moment ago, will bat sixth and play third base. Corey Spangenberg is the second baseman batting seventh. Alexi Amarista at shortstop will hit eighth. And on the mound, Tyson Ross batting ninth. So what is significant about today's lineup, Bill Center?
First time this year that they've employed the same 1-8 hitters, the same positions, since first time this year that they've done it. And
3 days in a row.
3 days in a row, and very seldom. I can't remember another time during Bud's time where he's actually had the same lineup three straight days.
Well, he's never had the option of really using the same lineup for many of his teams.
And most of his first 7 years here, he's had to mix and match, and that's tough to do. He just didn't have the talent to send the same guys out every day.
Now, he's got Tyson Ross on the mound tonight, and Tyson has gotten off to an interesting start in the 2015 season. And the blog overs at Vocal Minority sent me, I thought, an interesting link here. And it's a bit of the advanced numbers, but it's nothing too complicated. I had gone through before the show myself, and I noticed that in Tyson Ross's 11 starts this year, he's given up exactly 2 earned runs 7 times. Mm-hmm. He's given up 3 earned runs 3 times, and once he gave up 4 earned runs. He has been so remarkably average.
Consistent.
Right. I mean, 2 earned runs is certainly not a bad start, especially if it's over 6 or 7 innings. But the numbers that I got, that equivalent, the equivalent game score, and a game score is a complicated formula. Basically, it rates a pitching performance on a scale from 0 to 100. And every single start that Tyson Ross has had this year has fallen between 48 and 62 on the game score, kind of right down the middle. According to Baseball Prospectus, no pitcher in Major League history has ever had 11 starts in a row with game scores falling between those two numbers. So he's never been bad, and he's never really been dominant and exceptionally good. And I'll tell you what, Bill, I'm kind of looking for one of those dominant starts from Tyson Ross tonight for a couple of reasons. First of all, he's due to have one. At some point, we're going to see that Tyson Ross, who you know has the ability with the slider to really hamstring and shut down opponents. But he has been so good against the Cincinnati Reds. In 3 starts against the Reds, he's got a 0.72 career ERA, including his only career shutout last July 2nd here at Petco Park.
Well, I mean, and he's got the perfect pitch for Great American Ballpark. If his slider is working and it's down in the zone and he gets a lot of ground balls and strikeouts, which he likes to do, he's not going to get hurt there. Pitchers who throw high and make mistakes up in the zone really pay a price at that ballpark.
I think one of the things, and we started the hour by talking about whether the Padres have turned the corner, are we going to see the team now playing at a higher level of baseball? one of the signs that at least gives me encouragement is that the Padres are sitting here a game under 500, despite the fact that Tyson Ross and Andrew Cashner have combined for a 4-13 record
right.
to this point in the season. I don't think either of us or any Padres fan could have imagined those two going 4-13. Now, they haven't gotten a ton of run support. Both have very decent ERAs that you'd say certainly are not bad. But you've got to think that if they just keep pitching the way they are, those win numbers are going to have to come up. And if they start pitching a little bit better, which they're both capable of, then they could really start doing some damage and racking up wins in these last 4 months of the season.
You know, Ross has been dependable this year. He's been good. But last year at this time, he was spectacular. And that's what we haven't had so far from Tyson Ross. We haven't had that wipeout start. And the slider has not quite been down in the zone where it was last year. If he hits that stride, then that's one of the things that's going to turn this team around.
Now, speaking of Cashner, Buddy Black has made a small change to his pitching rotation this weekend, announced before the game at Great American Ballpark. Andrew Cashner, who had been scheduled to pitch on Sunday, is going to move up to tomorrow's start, Saturday, pitching on his regular rest because of the off day yesterday. And Odrisimer Despaigne, who is going to pitch tomorrow, will be moved back to Sunday. And this has a couple of different reasons, I think, that we can kind of figure out from what Buddy's doing.
Right. Well, that because Morrow makes his second rehab start in San Antonio Monday, so that puts Morrow on the same schedule as Despaigne. And when Despaigne, when Morrow comes back, I'm sure that Despaigne goes back to the bullpen. Why? Why Despaigne and not Kennedy? Because Odrisimer has worked in the bullpen before. He knows how to do it, and he is durable enough where he can work long or short late in the game. So he's two relievers in one. And so he goes back to the bullpen.
And the other thing, and your former colleague at the UT, Jay Posner, pointed this out on Twitter. For whatever reason, Odrisimer Despaigne has put up much better numbers at Petco Park than he has on the road. By moving him back a day, he wouldn't have to pitch twice on this road trip. If he did pitch that next Friday, if Morrow wasn't ready, it would be back here at Petco Park as opposed to making two starts on the road.
Right, but I think the main thing is to get him on the same day, Morrow and him on the same day, so that when it just very easy to move Despaigne back to the bullpen.
And, you know, we talked about what was going to happen when Melvin Upton and Will Myers possibly come back in a little over a week. A.J. Preller and Buddy Black are also going to have to make a decision on the pitching staff when Morrow returns. It looks like, as you said, Despaigne will go back into that swing role of long relief and spot starter, but one of those bullpen guys is going to have to make room for Brandon Morrow coming back and be sent down to AAA.
Right, they will lose a reliever at that time.
Right.
I would imagine it would probably be the only left-hander in the bullpen, the kid.
Frank Garces. So
right.
Once again, you'd go without a lefty, which they already have done at this
right.
point for at least a few games.
The only other option is, to be perfectly honest, Kevin Quackenbush hasn't been pitching real well recently. And they both have options. So it could either be Garces or Quackenbush.
All right. We'll put this all together. We'll have our injury report coming up, and we'll give you the lowdown on Will Myers, Brandon Morrow, what's going on in the minor leagues with Melvin Upton, and you wrote about it a little bit today. We'll have that coming up. First, though, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Padres and the Cincinnati Reds coming up at the top of the hour. Bill Center and Ben Higgins back with you in a moment on the Padres Social Hour.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Back at our AMR studios, Bill Center and Ben Higgins with you as we continue on with Padres Social Hour in the game. Just about 15 minutes away from the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. Truly one of the hitter's parks in the National League.
It's too much of a hitter's park.
It has been in the past.
Right.
Yes. Well, of course, you can argue that Petco Park, a lot of people said, was too much of a pitcher's park, and then all of a sudden we get a year like this year.
Right. I'd rather have it a pitcher's park where you can, because a hitter's park is not going to swing to a pitcher's park. It's too much of a hitter's park for me.
All right. We have kind of talked about some of the different Padres who may be coming back soon, who are scheduled to be coming back soon, but let's put it all together and get to our injury report. It is brought to you by AMR, American Medical Response, is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit AMRSanDiego.com. Now, first of all, Bill, we got word from Great American Ballpark that Will Myers is going to take batting practice again probably tomorrow. And if all goes well, he'll be heading out for a rehab assignment with the El Paso Chihuahuas. I believe they're going to be in Las Vegas this weekend. That could start as soon as Sunday.
Right, and that puts him on course to rejoin the team when it comes home for the Dodgers.
So that is great news.
That is really great news.
Get Will Myers back, even though it brings up the dilemma, where are you going to put him? And we talked about that a little bit earlier.
They'll find a spot.
They will find a spot for him. It could be an interesting spot because – and the comments I've been getting on Twitter as well mostly say that the fans don't want to see Myers back in center field. They'd like to see him somewhere else, whether it's first base, third base, a corner outfield spot. If Kemp, some people say that Kemp might be heading to the disabled list if he doesn't get the offense going. I don't know what Buddy's going to do. It's an interesting decision.
Well, I think right away he'll probably go back in center. All these people that think want Alonso out of the lineup, I just don't understand the thinking. He's hitting 350. I mean, even if he's hitting 300 with a 400 on-base percentage, he serves a valuable purpose. He's the only left-handed hitter in the lineup, taking away Amarista. And he's a natural first baseman who plays good defense there. Just because Myers has played a couple games at first base and didn't look bad doesn't mean he's a first baseman.
By the way, you were just talking about this a moment ago during our break, but Yonder Alonso always seems to be good for at least a homer or two when he goes back to the Great American Ballpark,
right.
The organization that he came up with before
right.
the Padres acquired
he's
him.
Always hit well
Matt Latos trade. He has hit well there. So perhaps Yonder Alonso could have another big weekend at the plate for the Padres this
right.
weekend. That would be nice. Other injury news, Brandon Morrow, as we said, is now on schedule to possibly return Friday for the San Diego Padres next week,
right.
Which would be in the spot of Odorís Amer-Despaña. That decision hasn't been made yet, but the wheels have been placed in motion by moving Despaña's start back a day from tomorrow to Sunday.
Right. It's going to be important to see how many pitches he throws in a second rehab start. Only threw 54 in the first one. They won it 60 to 65. They want him to stretch out this time. They were expecting 75 to 80. That's a pretty big jump from 54.
And then on rehab assignment right now is Melvin Upton, who we have yet to see with the big league Padres, but he's already 13 games into his 20-game assignment. So within the next week, the Padres will have to make a decision about what to do with Justin Upton's brother,
right.
whether you're going to reunite the Uptons in the outfield or what are you going to do? Because the situation with Melvin Upton, when they acquired him in the Craig Kimbrel trade, he has a lot of money left in his contract for the next 2.5 seasons, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And he doesn't have any options left. So if you decide that you don't have a spot for him and you designate him for assignment, all of a sudden you're just on hook for all that money and another team can pick him up and pay him the minimum.
Right. They're not going to – I mean, he's going to be on the active roster. There's no question in my mind. Now, what they do with him then – excellent defensive outfielder, excellent defensive center fielder. Last couple of years with Atlanta, his bat was almost non-existent. Before that, did very well at Tampa. So it's going to be interesting to see what Melvin Upton comes back here.
And then I mentioned Matt Kemp, and there really has been nothing, no talk about Kemp being hurt. We've seen some line drives recently. He doesn't seem to be a candidate for the disabled list, but I keep getting the same question at hashtag Padres Social Hour. Craig Meddy sent it as well. Is it time to drop Matt Kemp in the order, or are you going to continue to bat him fourth? He's already been dropped once by Bud Black from third to fourth. Would you consider dropping him again if at least those slugging numbers don't start to increase soon?
Well, to me, the RBIs are more important than the slugging numbers and the RISP batting average. And, yes, he is in a slump. But I think that somebody with Kemp with a track record, and certainly the second half he had last year, and he showed a little bit of signs of coming out of it. I don't do anything now. And plus, he made a play in right field a couple days ago that was as good as you're going
to
see.
Oh, that throw to third
that
base.
That throw to third base.
You don't talk – when you talk Matt Kemp, you don't think arm that often. But
right.
He's got the best outfield arm on the San Diego Padres
right.
by a good margin, I would say. And when you make a play like that – I don't think there's anything I enjoy more as a fan than seeing a great outfield assist
right.
from an outfielder who throw.
And not only was the throw great, Will Middlebrooks did an excellent job at third of putting his knee down and keeping the hand from going straight into the bag. And that's the snap tag and blocking the bag. That was excellent play all the way around.
Yeah, there was thought that that play might get challenged by the Mets, but they quickly realized
right.
and said, no, we're not going to challenge that one. That was a great play on both
right.
sides of the equation.
Right.
All right, do you feel lucky, Bill? Are you going to be ready?
Ready.
When we come back, we're going to have the head-to-head challenge, you and Blooper, to see who's going to pick today's winner as we head in to the Padres and the Cincinnati Reds. And Saturday, June 13th, marks the season's first summer Skyblast show. Stay after the 7:10 p.m. game against the Dodgers. Relax and watch Petco Park's largest fireworks display set to music from the 80s. Yeah, we all like the 80s. Buy your tickets now at Padres.com or at the box office. Padres and Reds coming up as we wrap up Padres Social Hour. Bill Center and Ben Higgins back with you in a moment.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Ben and Bill wrapping it up with you today. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. And, you know, on this Friday, what a great time to just stay in. I know people like to go out on Fridays, but if you're not going, you get the fair starting. Hey, this to me is the perfect day to stay out of the traffic, watch some Padres baseball, you know, order in, and just see if the Padres can get a win in the start of this three-game series against the Reds.
Right. Get some momentum. Make it three in a row. Stretch it out over the weekend. Get some momentum. Get going.
And day games this weekend. You will be back on the couch tomorrow at 11:30 to 12:30, but this chair is going to get decidedly more appealing when Annie Heilbrun
right.
comes in and sits with you tomorrow.
No, I'll be back on Sunday. I think somebody
– Oh, is that
–
I got Bill said Randy's in tomorrow. All right, Blooper, that was you. Gave me the wrong lineup. Okay, so you'll be in Sunday. Early show on Sunday.
With Gracie.
With Mike Grace. And then Annie will be in with Randy Jones tomorrow. Either way, it's good. You can't miss with any of those hosts. What you can miss, though, is the couch against Blooper, the head-to-head Supercuts Challenge, which basically is each day you get to pick a Padre. The couch and Blooper picks a Padre, and then whoever wins. And it's brought to you by Supercuts. They pay attention to every detail. They cut the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Now, I understand Blooper has been making a rally in the standings lately. In fact, he's pulled within one of the couch with a couple of wins lately, as decided by the host, the judge. We didn't have a game yesterday, so I didn't get to make a ruling. But if you want to keep the couch in the lead, Bill, you're going to have to win this one. But Blooper, it is his turn to go first. So who are you picking in today's Supercuts head-to-head challenge?
I'm going with Tyson Ross.
Tyson Ross, the starting pitcher who is 3-0 with a 0.72 career ERA against the Cincinnati Reds, trying to make it 4-0 with another dominating effort. That leaves you an entire lineup worth
right.
of Padres to choose, Bill.
Short left field, I'm going with Justin Upton.
Justin Upton. The power at the hitter's ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Not Yonder Alonso, who's always hit well.
I was tempted to take Alonso, but the left field there at Cincinnati just
well, you got you've got to think the Padres are going up against a pitcher who's making his major league debut today
right.
in John Moscott, right-hander. I don't know a ton about him, but you know, hopefully he's got those first game jitters that takes a while to get out, and the Padres can put some runs on the board and get this series started off on the right foot.
The Reds played this well, though. They didn't tell anybody that they were pitching this guy until today.
That's right. There's film on everyone now, even
right.
in the minor league.
Sure.
I'm sure Darren Balsey was able to call it up somewhere on the internet. But that's right, a little bit less time for the hitters to prepare, watch tape, a little bit less quality of tape, not up against major league hitters. So there will be that air of mystery. And we've seen guys come up, and maybe they didn't, you know, they weren't great. But in that first start with that unknown, they were probably able to put up their best start. So that's
right.
that's the danger for the Padres against this guy today.
That is the absolute danger.
Yeah, so that's we got three-game series against the Cincinnati Reds, then four against the Atlanta Braves, and then back next weekend against the L.A. Dodgers here at Petco Park.
Ben,
Bill, thank you very much. It's great sitting alongside with you. Padres baseball is up next. Do not go anywhere. Padres and Cincinnati Reds coming your way from the Great American Ballpark. This has been Padres Social Hour.